Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. This is the text. But there's a lot of background to this. And you know this because we covered the passage from Luke 17, the healing of the 10 lepers some time back. And you know the background, most of you. Where the sacrifice of the two birds. And just to review, because I don't want to take a long time on that tonight, when a leper was healed, Leviticus 14, he would bring two live clean birds to the priest, who would slay the one bird and gather its blood in an earthenware vessel and take the other bird, dip it in the blood of the bird that was slain, and allow it to fly free. This is really summarizing. And so we come to the two questions I asked you last time. Who is symbolized by the bird that is slain? Jesus. Who is symbolized by the bird that is dipped in the blood of the bird that was slain and then allowed to fly free? That's us. And how dramatic can you get? It's right in your face dramatic from God to you, saying, this is how you are cleansed. And the second part of that review, when Jesus sends the 10 lepers, 9 of them get there, 1 turns back, the priest has to go and get 18 birds. He has to do the sacrifice 9 times over and over and over again. It's going to be a long afternoon. And the priest, who probably has never done one of those sacrifices before because leprosy just does not get healed, the priest is going to be the one who gets the point of it, that the sacrifice has come. The world is to be cleansed by the sacrifice walking now among us. The priest is going to preach a sermon to himself with his own hands, guided by Jesus, and the sermon is going to be about Jesus. But is it not very strange to talk about leprosy for Thanksgiving Day? Tomorrow I'm getting together with family. How about if I brought a good and thorough description of leprosy with pictures, passed it around a table? I would not be popular, would I? Okay, this is to set the drama, the contrast, because this is no ordinary Thanksgiving we're talking about. An ordinary and simple Thanksgiving on just one level goes along and says, thank you, God, for the things that we got this year and for this turkey and the stuff and the stuffing, and it's all really, really good. Thank you, God. But then there is a different sort of Thanksgiving. The kind of Thanksgiving that has weathered a storm. That's why it's important that it is the healing of the lepers. Because in all of the background of that text, there is the horrible business of leprosy. There is disease. There is the sentence of death being carried out in the bodies of those 10 lepers. And they know it and they feel it. There is isolation, ostracism. There is having to call out, unclean, unclean, unclean. As if they were the only ones unclean in the sight of God, right? Mm. And now Thanksgiving becomes something different. Because Thanksgiving is a matter of not the stuff, not the stuffing, not the turkey, not the all of that, but it is a matter of the relationship with the one who gives the blessings. Let me set this in front of you in about three different ways. One of the psalms, verses of the psalms that I like to make the kids memorize is Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will rescue you, and you will praise me. So that's a different sort of thanksgiving and praise that has seen the trouble and known that God hears the prayers and answers. Whole different kind. There is one of my other favorite psalm verses, Psalm 46, verse 1, and there's a different translation to it. Psalm 46, verse 1. This is familiar. And it just disappeared. Yes. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There it is, it's back. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Okay? But the Hebrew of that verse supports a different translation that I actually like a whole lot better. And it goes like this. God is our refuge and strength, a well-proven help in trouble. Oh. That's the translation for the folks with some gray hair, right? Who have seen these things, who have lived through the storms, who have faced the uncertainty, who have called out to God with the questions and confusion, and have found that God is there. A well-proven help in trouble. He is there with you through that storm. He is there being the one solid thing in a time of confusion and questions. He is the one who has been there with his words of comfort in the time of distress. Okay. That's a second way of looking at it. Here's the third way. There are times when it is absolutely the right thing to ignore the blessings. Absolutely the right thing. And now I have to convince you of that. Okay? Because you see, blessings come, blessings go. We will have days of joy, days of sorrow, days of richness, days of trouble. And it is important in looking at the blessings in life to at some point put them to the side. Put them out of your mind, completely disregard them, and say, rather than the blessings, what is important is the blesser. Mm-hmm. We as Christians, we talk about prayer and how we have confidence that we come to God and He hears our prayers and He answers our prayers. Then we qualify that and we say, well, the prayers will have one of three different answers. Yes, no, and not now. So, let me suggest to you that the more important thing is not the prayer or the answer to the prayers. The more important thing is the prayee, the one you're praying to. Because you see, all of the things that come to you in life, they will one day disappear as well. All of the blessings will fade away. All of the trials will one day be over and done with. But there is one thing that lasts and lasts forever, and that is your relationship with the giver, not the gift, with the blesser, not the blessing, with the one who hears the prayer, not the prayer. And if you have that relationship with God in that way, then there is something so solid to life that a Thanksgiving day becomes changed. And instead of saying, "Dear God, thank you for the things, thank you for the blessings, thank you for this, thank you for that," you say, "Dear God, thank you that you are with me. Thank you that whatever blessings come, they are from your hand. Whatever trials come, I have you by my side." That's a beautiful pattern of thanksgiving and worship and praise to God. So the one leper, he turns back. He goes to Jesus. He realizes that more important than being healed from leprosy, which is an amazing thing, more important than now he can walk through a town without ringing the bell and yelling out unclean, more important than being ostracized from everybody else, more important than having that sentence of death that was coursing through his body lifted off of him for a while, he has come face to face with God. He had the words of God spoken over him. And by those words of God, he got connected. Got connected not only with the blessings, not only with the words, but with the speaker of the words. With the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. With the one who said, "Your sins are forgiven," and they were forgiven. With the one who said, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus came forth. And that one leper, he's got it right. The text says, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus says, "Was no one found to return and give thanks except this foreigner?" Why is that? Well, in our day, we'd call it entitlement. The nine on their way, "Oh, we're children of Israel. This is what's to be expected for children of Israel. We're going off to have that blessing and enjoy that blessing." But the foreigner, he has no right, and he knows he has no right to the blessings of God. And those blessings come out of the blue and are an amazement to him. And now all of a sudden, his life, which was tumbling toward destruction, has been touched by God. God who cared for him, why would he do such a thing? God who spoke his word over him, why, he's not even one of the people of God. God who gave healing, God who cleansed, God who called him, God who seems to want him in a relationship with God himself? Well, of course he's got to turn back. Of course he has got to get himself at Jesus' feet and thank and praise. You see, when those blessings come, and when you say, not the blessing, but the blesser, and when you have that relationship with God that is given to you, and you grab a hold of it for all your worth, then that relationship with Jesus Christ is entirely enough for any day of blessing or any day of trial. This has been our experience. We have known that he is faithful. We have seen him prove himself over and over and over again. And so as we take tonight, tomorrow, however many days we choose to celebrate this Thanksgiving, let's put the focus on that relationship with the blesser and know that if he is ours, well, that's all we need. If he is ours, that's forever. In Jesus' name, amen.